When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello again, everybody. It is time once again for the Mainland Podcast. This is episode 386, and I am your host, Michael Citro, the founder and managing editor of themainland.com. That is an independent website that covers Orlando City, the Orlando Pride, OCB, and all things soccer related in the city beautiful. And joining me, not from Tallahassee, Florida, but from the Denver, Colorado area, David Rowe, my co-host. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Taking the show on the road this week. Happen to be out here. My wife has a work thing. I get to have a vacation thing, so better for me. But such is my dedication. That here I am.
There you are. So if you don't think that Dave sounds the same as he usually does because he didn't take his nice microphone on the road with him.
Yeah, well, you know, you only want to pack so much stuff and the gigantic microphone was not on the list.
Yeah, yeah. And it adds a few pounds to the bag as well.
Yes, it does.
Dave, the playoffs have begun for Orlando City.
Yes, they have.
And they started off with a home game Monday night against Nashville SC, a team that has it's been a problem for Orlando City, although a very short, brief history between the teams. And of course, Nashville famously knocked Orlando out of the playoffs a few years ago. But this Orlando City team came in on a roll. We're a little concerned with some of the guys had sat for quite a while. It was an international break before the last game, and then there was heavy rotation, and then 9 more days before the first playoff game. But one of the things we talked about is that the going to Nashville and only getting 2 shot attempts and only one really legit shot attempt was probably not a sustainable model for Orlando City. So they went the opposite direction, Dave, and they got 25 shots, and that was a season high.
It was, especially early on. I mean, they seemed to be all over Nashville, which was great. It's just that not finishing and putting the ball into the back of the net, not so great.
Yeah, just 3 minutes in, the team already had as many shots as the last entire game and more shots on target than the last game against Nashville. It started right off the bat, a very bright start for the Lions. They wanted to get out and jump on Nashville, which is not a bad plan, but you still got to be careful with the ball because of how dangerous Nashville is in transition. So they come out and they get a couple of quick shots off the bat, Torres and Angulo. Torres, unfortunately, had the ball on his weaker foot, shot it too close to Joe Willis, got the save. Rebound to Angulo. Angulo also shot it this time right at Joe Willis, although not from a great angle. So a couple of early chances. Then Torres got another chance a little bit later with a few minutes later with a shot over the bar or just off target. And then Wilder Cartagena had a lined one up from distance, and his didn't miss by a lot, but it did go over the bar. And so they were getting chances, but nothing was happening. And you know, Nashville really, they weren't seeing much of the ball, but that's nothing new for them. They like to play without the ball and then try to hit you on the counter. Orlando did have a couple of nervy moments with some giveaways, but nothing terrible, nothing really risky in the early going. But these teams kind of started to settle in. Orlando kept the ball, kept the pressure up. They weren't turning the ball over, which was good. But you just didn't know if that breakthrough was going to come.
Yeah, you really didn't. I think that, you know, we spoke about it last podcast. Oscar has a plan for the first 15, 20. And, you know, the team that you could see that was in effect. That's why they were getting so many chances. They had a plan on how they wanted to attack. They were finding spots in between. They were able to get down into the Nashville area and create those chances, which is not easy against a team like that. Additionally, the defense was doing a decent job of sniffing out counterattacks and generally, you know, making it difficult for Nashville. Also good. And then, you know, Nashville starts to settle in. They get a little bit more of the ball, but then that first adjustment that Oscar makes happens, and now Orlando City gets back on the front foot and back in control of the ball again.
Yeah, and the team was moving the ball well, but I didn't think they were moving it quickly enough to really bother the Nashville defense. There were some opportunities to do that. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we're getting close to halftime. Orlando's put a bunch of shots toward the target, not very many on target, but a few of them came close. I mentioned earlier, Cartagena missed over the bar. He just missed wide. Torres's went over the bar, but Cartagena missed wide. But a pretty good effort for Wilder, and maybe a portent of things to come, because as we approached halftime and it looked like the teams were going to go to the locker room scoreless, and you were going to have one of those nervy second halves where you're just biting your fingernails for the last 45 minutes, maybe even going to penalties after a 0-0 draw. There was a good little bit of play on the left, and guys were kind of knocking the ball around. And then Cesar Araujo had this just odd header that was just like into space. And the only one in that space was Cartagena, who picked it up, and he took a couple dribbles toward the box, and no one closed him down. So Dave, Wilder Cartagena had a go, and he scored an absolute worldie screamer golazo.
I believe we are going to have to start calling them Wilders now instead of worldies. it was absolutely stunning goal. It's easily, no matter what else happens the rest of the playoffs, it is easily in contention for best goal in the playoffs. It was that good. And I love the fact that they just kept showing it over and over again, because that made me happy. What's funny is about about 5 minutes before that, you know, we're sitting in the hotel room. My wife and I were watching it on my tablet because it wasn't on the TV here. And, you know, we're getting hungry. And she's like, well, we'll go down to the sports bar here at the hotel, you know, maybe to start the second half. But a little bit early on, she's like, well, how about, you know, after Orlando City scores their first goal? I'm like, okay, sounds good. Wilder makes that shot, and I'm like, well, there's only a couple minutes left in the half, so let's wait.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful.
A crazy goal. Could not have placed it any better. And those are the fine margins you have to be able to get to when you're trying to beat a team as difficult as Nashville to break down, as hard as they are to break down, hard as they are to score upon. It took Wilder Cartagena putting it in the corner off the underside of the bar to be able to beat Joe Willis and make it 1-0, and they were able to hold that lead going into the half. One thing we didn't talk about is we kind of wondered, will Oscar Pareja reinsert Antonio Carlos into the starting lineup, since he is the starter and played the full 90 against Toronto and played very well against Toronto? But the answer is no. He's going to reward the work of Rodrigo Schlegel, and he's going to ride with the chemistry that has got him to that point. And either way, I think would have been a logical way to go. I mean, you could defend either decision. I was a little concerned about some of the moves Rodri was making in this game, but he, you know, for the most part, I thought he did really well. And I think for the most part, the defense did well.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And Dagger Dan, I thought, had a good defensive game. He even had a couple chances where, you know, you're hoping maybe he could get on the scoreboard. But, you know, he did well typically getting back in defense, even if he was up the field a bit. And it was good to see that. Robin Johnson, of course, played just like Robin always plays, which is excellent this year.
Yeah. So you go to halftime 1-0 up, and the team's feeling good. The crowd's happy. Come out, and Nashville absolutely came out guns blazing trying to get that goal right back in the first few minutes of the second half. But Orlando was able to withstand that early barrage in the second half, make some adjustments, start to settle down, get a little more of the ball. And really, it looked like Orlando was likely to get a second goal. Didn't end up doing it. There were a few good chances in this game to get a second goal. There was one right before the half that off a set piece that fell for Araujo at the back post, but he didn't think the ball would get through, so he didn't make the run. If he made the run, it's a tap in, and you can tell by his reaction that he knew he should have made the run. You have to go and hope. And just assume the ball's going to get to that spot, because that's how you score. But I mean, he is a defensive midfielder, so he doesn't have those instincts. You can tell by his reaction, he was mad at himself. He's jumping up and down, kind of hitting himself in the head a little bit. That was one of them. There was a chance for Mauricio Pereira, who took an extra touch in the box. You don't have time against Nashville to take a second touch in the box. He should have hit it first time. He was sent in nicely and right in front of Willis. All he has to do is pick a side and just hit it first touch. He did not. Tried to settle it, and Daniel Lovitz was able to shut him down. There were a couple other chances, but those were the big ones. I would say surprisingly, but it's really not surprising against Nashville, Duncan McGuire didn't really have a clear-cut chance in this game.
No, he almost had an early one, like in the first couple minutes. You know, he was kind of in the scrum of things, and that was his best opportunity. But once again, like you say, not entirely surprising given how Nashville plays on defense. They are incredibly hard to break down. They play very solid defense. They close down quickly. They do not allow a lot of space. And so it's tough, especially for, you know, a forward to get opportunities. And sometimes they do have to come from further out, like Cartagena's goal did.
Yeah. And a good battle between McGuire and the two center backs for Nashville all night, Zimmerman and Mayer. But no matter what Orlando City did in front of net, they did not have a miss as egregious as Sam Surridge did in the first half for Nashville. That was one of those scary moments I was talking about with Rodri. He got caught on the wrong side of the player. They were able to get to the end line and cross in for Surridge. He's right in front of the net. All he has to do is touch it in. Somehow he missed the net, and that ended up being a huge play in the game.
One of two massive plays on Nashville's side, and we'll talk about the other one in a bit. But yeah, that's one of those. You're used to it happening to Orlando, not for Orlando. Mm-hmm. And so it was nice that it happened for Orlando this time.
Yeah. So around the hour mark, unfortunately, Wilder Cartagena had to leave the game. He talked about it after the game. He was feeling some tightness. He said he felt some pain. He said he wasn't feeling it when he was walking, so he's hoping that it's nothing serious and that it's something that he can get back for game two. But he did have to come out. And Orlando got a little bit careless with the ball a few times in the second half. It was a little bit bothersome. Maybe that was the layoff. Maybe not as you got later in the game, your body's not obeying, or maybe you're not making the right decision. And there were a couple of opportunities for Nashville off of counterattacks. Some turnover. One of those turnovers was in the offensive third by Cesar Araujo. Another one was in his own end by Dagger Dan. He had a teammate in the inside, and he tried to turn outside and make a move, and he was dispossessed, and that ended up on Hani Mukhtar's foot. You don't want it there. And he fired a shot that was deflected, and luckily Galese was able to leave his feet in and make that save as he got caught leaning the wrong way, but he still was able to make that save. That was a huge save in the game.
Oh, kick save from Galese was absolutely massive. He didn't have to do a ton, but the things that he did do were obviously, game savers. So well done on El Pupo's part.
He also made a big save that didn't end up being needed to be made as Surridge again got in front and flicked it on goal. A big save by Galese, but he was well offside on the play, and glad that they didn't have to go to the review to look at a goal to see if it should have counted or not. So everything was going well, and then Orlando City did what they've been doing in the second part of the season. They put on their defensive subs, and they just strangled the game. They just kept the ball as much as they could. And when they couldn't, they just kicked it down the field and said, try to break us down with our five-man back line, as they brought on Antonio Carlos and some more defensive players. I thought Junior Urso played extremely well off the bench, spelling Cartagena. He drew two yellow cards on Nashville in his short time on the field. Just getting under their skin. Rodri was getting under people's skin. This is going to be a feisty series. But in the end, Orlando City holds on for a 1-0 victory. And I did not predict a 1-0 victory. I thought we were going to get penalties, but we did not get penalties, thankfully.
We did not get penalties. You predicted a 1-1 draw with penalties and Orlando City winning the penalties. I, however, did predict a 1-0 victory. Go me.
Go you. So, I mean, I don't think there's much in the way of drama about my man of the match. I don't know if there is for you, but Wilder Cartagena was the best player on the field for the hour he was out there, on both with the goal, but especially doing what he normally does, and that's just putting out fires everywhere.
Putting out fires, scoring a golazo, a worldie, a Wilder, whatever you want to call it. And that wasn't his only, you know, shot. I mean, he had some other opportunities as well. So, yeah, it's Cartagena, no-brainer.
All right. Well, one down, Dave, and the series shifts to Tennessee. The teams will play next Tuesday night in Nashville at 9 p.m. Eastern time start. We'll talk a little bit about that game in a little bit. We'll give our key matchups and our score predictions. I don't know if our key matchups are going to change, quite honestly, but we'll see when we get to that point. We also, of course, have to look in, not have to, we choose to look in our mailbag box. That's something that we're looking forward to. And we're going to get to those things right after this. Dave, we are back. And before we talk about game two in Nashville, what do you say we look in the mailbag box?
Well, Michael, as you're well aware, I love the mailbag box, so let's do it.
All right. If you're new to the show, welcome. And we're going to tell you how you can ask us anything and get your questions into our mailbag box about any topic you want to ask us about. One of those ways is to email us at themainland@gmail.com. And another way is to go on Twitter and add us at themainland. And use the hashtag AskTMLPC. A third way is you can go to themainland.com, click on the Mainland podcast page, and fill out the submission form there to ask us anything. So there's several ways you can do it. They all work pretty well. And we'd love to hear from you. So ask away. Dave, I understand the Twitters are barren again this week.
The Twitters are still barren. Elon Musk is doing his best to dismantle that once newsworthy platform.
Once.
Oh well.
Yeah, I heard that it's worth like $19 billion now after he paid $44 billion for it.
Yeah, well, he overpaid to begin with, and now he's losing money on it hand over fist.
I don't even think it's worth $1 billion, to be honest with you. Unless somebody comes in and fixes it.
I'm going to try and put as much sarcasm into my voice as I can. You really hate to see it.
I hate to see it, but it doesn't really drive engagement for us as it used to. We're still posting there, but we're also posting on Blue Sky and Facebook and, you know, but honestly, just check.
If you are on Blue Sky, make sure you give us, we are over there. Give us a follow. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to find me also. And if you are a Mainland listener, I will follow you back on Blue Sky.
There you go. All right, let us start then without a Twitter. We will go to the Gmail, and we will hear from one thing I want to do first before we can get to those questions. We want to check back with a question from early in the season, like really early in the season. We're talking March 22nd, Dave. Going back to the March 22nd mailbag box or the mailbag box back in late March from our own Ryan Smith, who asked us at that time to predict who will finish the season higher in the table. Ted Lasso's AFC Richmond team or Orlando City in the MLS Shield race. And it ended up in a tie. I don't remember what our answers were back then, but it was a tie. Each team finished second in the table.
Knowing myself, I can guess as to what I said. And I'm going to base this also off of what my predictions were on the round table, but I'm pretty sure that I did correctly predict that Ted Lasso, that the AFC Richmond would finish second. Just because that seemed to be the way the story would make the most sense.
Yeah.
And then I'm pretty sure I said third for Orlando City, and I'm just basing that off of what I remember from what we wrote. But yeah. So obviously I was wrong when I answered that question.
Yeah, I was thinking Orlando would be competing for like those fifth, sixth spots. So I probably predicted that Ted Lasso would take his team a little higher in the table, but I don't recall, but we can look back on that. We do have a question from Samuel Atkinson, friend of the pod, and he has written to us saying, congrats on show 386.
Thank you.
He says, now that Grant Hill has become a celebrity partner in the team, do you think this might help us in the eyes of Don Garber, or is Orlando just going to get Garbered like normal?
I don't look if having billionaire owners doesn't win over Garber, which I think that's a lot of what he cares about. I don't know that anything will, unless the Orlando City market somehow gets bigger than it is. Garber won't care. Nothing's going to change that.
Yeah. Thank you, acquaintance of the pod, Samuel Atkinson, self-titled acquaintance of the pod. Appreciate the question.
It. You can have it.
Yeah. We have a question here from Cindy Waldschmidt, who I understand is the mother of Matthew Waldschmidt, who's friend of the pod.
If it's not his mother, it was a heck of a coincidence.
Well, she says I am Matthew Waldschmidt's mother, by the way.
Okay, there you go.
Said he told me you will answer any question on your podcast. Thank you. Cindy, thank you for writing. Her question is this, Dave. What is the easiest way to explain offside to someone who has watched soccer for many years but just doesn't fully understand it still?
The simplest way I can do it is to say that you have to pay attention to where the point at which the ball is kicked.
Mm-hmm.
Is what depends on where everybody else is. So wherever you are, depending on when the ball is kicked.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're behind the defender, you're offsides. If you're not behind the defender, you're onsides. Yeah. When the ball is kicked, you got to be able to look in two places at once.
Yeah, it is. It is a little convoluted, especially if you, like me, grew up with hockey, because a hockey offside is different from a soccer offside. And by the way, in soccer, don't get this wrong, it is offside, not offsides. Right. Soccer purists will drill you for that. But
yes.
The simplest way to say it is that you cannot be behind the last defender at the time the pass is made. So while the person is kicking the ball to you, you have to be even with the last defender, or the last defender has to be closer to the goal than you. And it gets close because you get something like the silhouette of your short sleeve is the only leeway you get. Like, you can be offside by an arm, even though you can't score with your arm, which is stupid. So that's part of where the confusion comes in for many people. There are some stupid subtleties to the rule, but the easiest way is just to say you cannot be beyond the last defender when the pass is played forward. There sometimes are balls played forward to guys who are beyond the last defender that are not offside. But in that case, you have to make it clear you're not going to play the ball. You have to make it clear you're not making an attempt on the ball. And if you do that, and if the defense lets up, one of your teammates can get there and keep the play going.
They can. And also in that scenario, after somebody else has played the ball, if you found yourself back in an onside position, you are then allowed to play the ball again.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
There's lots to it.
Yeah. I think that's as simple as we can make it, Cindy. And I hope that helps you some. And we appreciate the question.
We do appreciate the question because we didn't have Coach Beard's ketchup bottle and malt vinegar bottle to demonstrate. So
yeah. All right. Last question we have is another form submission from the website. So that's getting some work the last few weeks. That's nice.
Loving that. Yeah.
Jay Talmadge has emailed us through the website form, and it says, "Hi, I'm new to Orlando and a new city fan. A good walkout song is one of my favorite things in soccer. Roma's Roma, Roma, Roma and Liverpool's You'll Never Walk Alone are some of the best in Europe." I'm sure Dave will agree with you on the latter. I will agree with you on the former.
Yep.
He says, if you had to pick a song for Orlando, a walkout song, what would you choose?
I'm a big fan of Welcome to the Jungle because you've got the lions and you got the jungle, and it's got the song itself has a good lead up and it's got some screaming and just it's a get you hyped kind of song. So just off the cuff, I would go with that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go with my old standby. I mean, when people tell me what we should change the national anthem to, I say Slow Ride by Foghat.
Okay.
It's a song that gets you going. It's a song that revs you up. It rocks and it's crunchy. I love it. So that's why. But no specific tie-in to the club or anything.
Right. Just a song Michael likes.
Yeah, just a song I like. All right. He also says if he had to throw in his two cents, he would have it be Wildflower by Central Florida's favorite son, Tom Petty.
Okay. All right. I like it.
Yeah. I think if I was going Tom Petty, I might go something like maybe Running Down a Dream or something.
You read my mind on the Petty song that I would pick.
Yeah. But thank you.
A little rhythm to it.
Yeah. Thank you, Jay, for sending the question. And we're happy to have you on board as a new City fan.
Yes, welcome.
All right, Dave, that is it for the mailbag box for this episode. And by the way, this will be the only episode this week because playing the same team coming up as we played this past weekend. So not a lot of variety there. And, if there's a lot of mailbag box, then it will just be a longer show next week. But it kind of doesn't make sense to have back-to-back shows about having played Nashville and being about to play Nashville. So we're just going with one this week, and things might change then after we get to see how things are coming together. If Orlando obviously gets past Nashville, then we may have a week there where we're back to two. We'll sort of time it up to what makes sense with the playoff schedule.
Exactly. Plus I'll be back in my hometown.
There you go. All right. One of the things we would love it if you would do, by the way, if you want to get your question in for the next show, please do it in all those ways that I said before. Go to themainland.com, click on the Mainland podcast page and fill out the form, or go to Twitter, at us at the Mainland, and use the hashtag AskTMLPC, or write to us via the old-fashioned Gmail or email in our Gmail account, themainland@gmail.com. Please make sure you spell Maine, M-A-N-E, like a lion's mane. I know it can be confusing. But we're punny guys. So those are the ways. And one other thing we would love it if you do is interact with this show wherever you get your podcast, which means rate it, review it, like it, whatever your podcast app lets you do. We would love if you do that. If you happen to leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, we will find it and read it on the show. And unfortunately, Dave, still nothing since Farfignugan in September.
Well, I mean, that was a great one, but come on. Everybody,
yep.
Surely somebody has something they want to say in a review.
Yeah, maybe it's playoff nerves. Maybe that's why we're not getting any new 5-star reviews on the Apple Podcasts.
I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah. All right, Dave. The Lions will go round two against Nashville on Tuesday, as mentioned. This is a gargantuan game, because if Nashville gets back in the series, that puts a lot of pressure on Orlando coming home to get a result in game three. Obviously, you would like to go out and get a result in Nashville and put this thing to bed. And of course, if it ends in a draw, you get penalties. So they could end up advancing on penalties if things are tied after 90 minutes. So we talked about our key matchups and did our score predictions for game one. This game, I don't anticipate either team changing a lot about their strategy. These teams kind of are who they are, I think. So I don't know that we're going to see a lot different. Dave, do you want to change up your key matchup? And if so, what would your new key matchup be? And if not, remind our listeners what your key matchup was for this game one.
So game one, mine was, solid on defense against Nashville's counterattack, basically keeping Mukhtar out of goal. And obviously Orlando City was able to do that. That is still a key matchup. I will still let it be my key matchup. Although, I do think that I'll go back to one of my old favorites, score early, score often, especially on the road. So Orlando City wasn't able to find that early goal at home, even though they had multiple chances. My hope is that Oscar and the guys have figured out how to break down Nashville and will continue to be able to do so, except this time maybe actually put it in the goal a little earlier in the match.
Yeah, if you fall behind Nashville, it gets exponentially harder to beat them. I believe my key matchup was score goals, break down that defensive block for Nashville. So it's the Orlando attack. I'll stick with that again. Orlando's attack has to break down Nashville's block, and then they also have to put the ball in the net when they do that. So you're not just playing Jack Bear and Walker Zimmerman and Daniel Levitson, Shaq Moore, and Anibal Godoy, and the rest of their midfield. You're also playing against Joe Willis, who's a very good goalkeeper. I think this is going to require a second goal to get a win. I don't think they can just go in there and get another 1-0. Although, if that's what they end up doing, I'll take it. I just think it's going to be really difficult to do that. They've managed to keep Mukhtar off the score sheet for two straight games. I don't know that they can, I don't know if they can make it three. I'd love to see it. But also, Nashville may try some different things. They may try more Fafa Picot earlier in the game, to test Rafa Santos to see if he's healthy, because he looked like he was laboring late in that game and had to be replaced by Kyle Smith. So I will stick with my key matchup, and that would be breaking down that defense and beating Joe Willis. That's going to be a priority. I think they're going to need to do it twice.
Okay. I have not given a score prediction, but would you like to give yours?
Dave, I think this is going to, I'm going to give the same score prediction. I think it's so hard to score against Nashville, and I think Nashville's due to get one. So I'm going to go 1-1 draw, and on the road, where Orlando's only had a couple of shootouts since joining MLS, they did it in Charleston in the U.S. Open Cup in 2015. They did it in 2017 at DC United, also in the U.S. Open Cup. So I'm going to say they win in penalties after a 1-1 draw. That's I'm sticking with it.
All right. Well, I'm glad you did, because I'm going to stick with mine as well. And so far, that seems to be working with us for us. So 1-0 road victory. The last two matches have been 1-0 victories by Orlando City when playing Nashville. So, all right. Proves to me that it's going to be something different. And then the last two matches, but in particular this last one, just the way that Orlando City seems to be able to deal with Nashville in a way that a lot of teams can't, in particular, and I'm not saying it's easy, but being able to break them down and get through their lines, and yeah, it gets congested down in there, but they're able to do that pretty effectively. And so I'm hoping that remains the case. So for me, 1-0, and Orlando City advances.
Well, that would be good. Either way, if either of us is right, that it'll be, or even if it's a more lopsided win for Orlando, then we'll be extremely happy not to have to play that third game. Nashville is going to be a desperate team. We're going to see their best shot. And if Orlando can get on the board first, it will be enormous. So like I said, Nashville is a tough team once they get the lead. And once they have a one, if they get up 1-0, then you got to score twice against their defense just to have a shot to win the game. Not to have a shot, but to get a win, you need at least two then in regulation. Very difficult to do, but we'll find out what happens on Tuesday, November 7th. Game starts at 9. And yeah, this is of all the years for them to throw in a best of three, Orlando gets the 2 seed and gets a win at home against Nashville, and they got to do it again.
Yeah, because of course that's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. The East, so far, the top 4 seeds look pretty good in the East.
Yeah. Well, the East has looked good all season. That's why, Orlando City was second overall and was still, having to fight off the teams below them. So it's obviously been the class of the league this year.
Yeah. If it does have to go to a game 3, Dave, that would take place Sunday, the 12th of November at 5 p.m. at Exploria Stadium. So let's hope that game isn't necessary.
Indeed.
Do want to give a shout out to the really awesome TIFO that the supporters displayed before the match on Monday night. El Pulpo in a chariot being drawn by 2 angry looking lions. There was a very nice sort of Kraken, sort of Game of Thrones type crest on the front of the chariot. And above it all, my sister's name, Victoria.
Nice, which is why they did it, I'm certain.
It's a very nice tribute to my sister. Thanks, guys.
It was a very nice tribute to your sister. No, that was such a good TIFO. I mean, it was getting shout outs online from, national people, not just those of us that follow Orlando City.
Yeah. Obviously, the word for victory. It was very nice. And I want to give them credit for doing a good job on that one. Some of them are great. Some of them are okay. They can't all be stellar, but this one was one of the best that I've seen in all the years that we've been following the team.
Yeah, no, outstanding. Liked it. They've been pretty good as of late, and this is just another winner or Victoria.
Yeah. And they kept it simple. They didn't go like, there weren't like 8 parts to this thing. It was just like one big piece.
Yes. Although the 8-parter was a nice one.
Yeah, it was nice. I think when you can say it in one, I think it speaks louder, but I really liked it. And congrats to everybody that was involved from the design standpoint to the artwork itself. I think it was, like I said, if not the best, certainly one of the best.
Yes, well executed, ladies and gentlemen.
And certainly El Pulpo liked it. He was tweeting about it. And you know what? He went out and got a shutout. So mission accomplished.
That's right. Well done.
All right, Dave. Unless you got anything else you want to get off your chest, I think we're done with episode 386.
Nah, let's be done. I'm going to get back to this whole vacation thing.
All right. Well, I appreciate your commitment, and I'm sure the listeners do too. Thanks everybody for listening. We actually managed to keep this one somewhat short, so that's good. Remember, nice. we will be back next week. We will be recording later in the week so that we can get the result in, and we will do one show next week as well. Unless we already know that Orlando's through, and then we may do a second show. But we'll play that by ear. But for this week, this is the only show you get. Get your questions in for next week. Remember to go to themainland.com every day. Check our website for new material. We update it every day. There's usually a minimum of 2 new stories per day. And so go read our stuff. We love it when you do that. We would love it if you would like us on Facebook. We would also love it if you would follow Dave on Twitter @MainlandDave. Follow me on Twitter at MainlandMichael, and follow the mainland on Twitter at the mainland, M-A-N-E, in all of those cases is how you spell Maine. If you like the pride, you can follow our sister show at Skopurp Soccer, S-K-O-P-U-R-P, at Skopurp Soccer is our pride-related show, our pride-specific show, I should say. And we'd love to have you on board over there as well. We're on our off-season monthly schedule over there, so no new show for that podcast this week. But that just means you can go back and listen to our Stays Goes episode.
Or go back even further if you haven't been listening. I mean, why not? What else are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, there's not even 30 of them, so should blow right through those.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I think that's everything. Remember, get your questions in for next week. That's going to do it for episode 386. So on behalf of my co-host, David Rowe, vacationing somewhere in Colorado, I'm Michael Citro, signing off the way we always do, by saying, go City!